I'd like to just have him come on up, and he's going to take it from here.
I'm going to make sure to adjust the mic this time. We don't have microphones in my bugs or preaching class. A small talk of about six of us. And I kind of scared myself the other day, Saturday night when I preached, because I could hear myself. And that was a new experience. I wasn't expecting that. So, anyways, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have together, to come together as a church, to praise you, to worship you, to open up your word, to study your word together, Lord. Thank you for this Communion Sunday, for we will remember the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, Lord, and who sent the Helper, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to work in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'll be talking about the book of Acts, Acts 4, but I'm going to touch on Acts 3 a little bit. And I had an interesting experience this school year. About a week ago and early on in this school year, the first experience was a dorm chapel message that I was asked to preach, and I seriously botched it up. It was bad. I believed in all. It was supposed to be somewhere around an hour-long message, and I was just shy of 5 minutes. It was not a good situation. I was humbled by that, but I was kind of feeling unqualified. Who am I to preach the word of God? I'm just some kid. I have my sins. I have my faults. I have, you know, all these. I'm a sinner. I'm not even good at public speaking. Why am I being called to preach? Why am I going to this school for this event? And then a week ago, I was blessed with my roommate with a similar situation. My roommate, Zach Abbiati, he's a great man, a good, strong, very, very great heart for the Lord. And being his roommate has really helped me grow, mostly because our personalities are so different. He likes to discuss and to debate. And it feels like discussing and debating with a dump truck or a large vehicle for moving great amounts of earth. You see it coming at you and you get scared. But he sometimes sees it as a disadvantage because he feels he hurts people. And he was talking with a student who I've talked to and many people have talked to. He's an agnostic at our school. He doesn't believe there's an absolute truth. He doesn't. The student doesn't believe you can know if there is or is not a God. And we've all just been talking with him, and he just spent so much time talking with him, and then came back and said, "John, I don't understand. Why is God having me talk to him? I'm not qualified. Anyone else in this school would be able to work with him better because they can understand his emotions, and I don't do well with emotions. Why is God using me?" And I remember saying to him, "God's using you because he has gained you qualified. He has said you are the one that's going to do this." And I think we all are qualified to do God's work. We all have different situations, and our work is all different depending on who you are. We're all different walks of life, but we all have something in common. We're all Christians. We're all saved. We all understand that Jesus Christ died for us, and the Holy Spirit working in us. So So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 4, that'll be page 1616 in your pew Bible. Now, the book of Acts, I love. I absolutely love the book of Acts. I sometimes call it Second Luke, because it's a sequel to the book of Luke. We get to see what happened after the gospel of Christ, after his resurrection. We get to see the work that God is doing, and it's just such a great book. And there's a lot going on in these first couple of chapters. Chapter 1, you have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, you have the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And you have the Holy Spirit doing something new and amazing for the first time. You have the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling in people for the first time. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only pressed upon people temporarily. The Holy Spirit was there to do God's work and then left. And then he'd come on and do God's work and then left. But now we have Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit into the lives, into the hearts of the believers. And he stays there. He stays there with us, guiding us and growing us, showing us right from wrong, and interceding for us. And then now you have this great thing the Holy Spirit has done in chapter 2. Chapter 3, Peter and John are now on their way to go worship God at the temple. It's basically church service for them at that point in time. And they're on their way to the temple and they see a lame man. And Peter says to the man, "I do not have money that I can give you," because he was begging for money. He had to be carried out to the temple gate. He couldn't walk on his own. He couldn't be moved on his own. He couldn't till the ground. All he could do was beg for money at the temple gate. And Peter says, "I have no money for you, but what I do have is what Jesus Christ did for you, and that I will give to you. Now rise and walk." And he tells them about Christ, and the man is healed. And it's just this beautiful work. And I got to point out, it was not Peter and John who healed this man. It was the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is what healed this man. Because later on, everyone is amazed that this man was healed in chapter 3. And Peter and John are like, "No, it was not us. It was Jesus Christ whom was crucified who rose from the dead." And they were preaching Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And that caused a problem with the religious leaders, because they were still trying to cover up Jesus Christ's death. They killed an innocent man, Jesus Christ, and they're still trying to sweep it under the rug. And now you have these two guys, if you read about John and Peter, you notice they were loud. They were very loud about the things they were passionate for. So they are causing a big stir. On Acts chapter 4. "And as they were speaking to the people, and the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest, Sapphira and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power do you do this?' And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the cornerstone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. By whose power? Over and over again, they don't claim any credit. It is by Jesus. By Jesus. By Jesus. This man was healed. Now, I really want to point out verse 15. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, saw that they were uneducated common men. Peter and John, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is recruiting the disciples, Peter and John were both fishermen. They knew two things. They were educated really, really well on two things. Throw net in the water, pull net out of water. That is what they knew. They were not taken as young boys to the temple to study the Word of God from an early age. They were not of great, great family. They were not of the Levi tribe, who were the priests of that day. They were fishermen. They were common people. But yet they not only, through the Spirit of God, allowed a man to be healed. I don't know what you do to heal someone who's crippled. And I have an associate's degree, and I'm working on a bachelor's and a minor. And I have no idea what you would do to heal someone. I have no idea. I don't know how that... Yet a man was healed. And even further, they were not educated in the law. They are on trial by the guys who just put Christ on the cross, who are trying to crucify them. And they stand up and talk. I would be shaking. Shaking. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the law. I should, but I don't. I don't know all Wisconsin's laws. Let's be honest here. There's times where I wonder, can I do this? Am I allowed to walk here? Am I trespassing? Am I, like, I don't know. Is it business hours? I don't know. Can I do donuts in this parking lot because the snow just fell? I don't know. I don't know all the laws. But they stood in power. They were not qualified to give a defense. They were not qualified to be doing the work that they had done. But because they proclaimed Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose for our sins, and through the Holy Spirit which God promised, they were qualified to do God's work. It is through Jesus Christ we are qualified. No other skills we have, no other abilities we have qualifies us to do the work of God, except God. God stands up and says, you are qualified. We don't feel it. We don't always feel qualified, trust me. I've had situations where I am shaking, going, why does it have to be me? Let me go get my roommate. He's better. I don't want to do this. You are qualified. If you are a believer here today, understand Jesus lived, died, and rose for your sins. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you that will never leave, that is growing you towards Him. You are qualified to do the works of God. We don't all have the same work. We are not all apostles. We did not all walk with Jesus Christ. We are not all pastors here. We are not all Bible college students. But we are mothers and fathers. brothers and sisters, workers and laborers and teachers and friends and family. Those are the roles we are called to. And in those situations, I mean, I'm not a parent yet. I kind of fear the day I become one. And I know from hearing my parents talk about it that you will run into times where you're like, God, I'm not qualified to do this. We all will in all our roles. There's just a time where we're like, I'm not qualified. Why are you asking me to do this work? There's better people. I can point them to you. You are qualified through Jesus Christ. You are qualified through the Holy Spirit. So act on it and do what Peter did. He pointed to Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for the book of Acts and the recordings we have in it. Thank you for everything your son did, his entire sinless life, his painful death on the cross, and his resurrection. Thank you for sealing us with the Holy Spirit, sealing us as children, your children. Thank you for using us to accomplish your work. Lord, you don't need us. You don't need our hands. You can say a word and it would be done, but it brings you glory to have us, our own qualified through you, and only you, to do your work. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to sing another song before we go to communion, so let's go for it. Here it comes. You can do whatever you want. We're not closing, you know. We're not going home.
Things are more that can never come close. Nothing can compare. Your heart living close. Your my heart becomes free when my King is gone.